When you have feelings of anger, how do you respond? Which of these two would prompt anger in you the quickest? Either circumstances or people? And would you say that all anger is sinful, that it's wrong? And then let me ask you one other question. Is it possible to be angry and not even know it? Well, that's what I want to talk about in this message, and that's anger. How do we handle our anger? And I want you to turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. And there are two sections of this chapter I want us to read that have to do with anger. Beginning in the 26th verse, one thing that Paul says that does not sound like what you and I would expect him to say. In the 26th verse of Ephesians chapter 4, he says, "Be angry." That doesn't sound like the Apostle Paul. "Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity." Then he says, if you'll notice in verse 31 and 32, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." Anger began in the very first family in the Bible. If you'll turn to Genesis chapter 4, and you will recall in the very first family an incident dealing with anger. And it is with the two sons of Cain and of Abel. And if you'll recall that they brought their offering to the Lord, and the scripture says that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel brought the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. And then if you'll notice verse 8, "And Cain told Abel his brother. Came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him." His anger toward God for the rejection of his offering. And his response was that he killed his own brother. Now, anger is a universal problem, and it's very evident in the scripture, because if you took all the words for anger in the Old Testament and the New Testament, plus all those that are implying anger, you'd find some 400 or maybe more words that deal with anger in the Bible. And an enormous number of those words deal with God's anger toward man. But that's not what we want to deal with. We want to deal with our anger toward one another. And when you think about it, more people are angry than realize. In fact, you and I live in an angry generation, in an angry society. And there are people around us who are very angry. They don't just get angry once in a while. They are angry. Their very character is one of anger. And sometimes it explodes here, and sometimes it explodes there, and sometimes it's just seething on the inside. But they're angry people. Do not even realize that they're angry. Yes, you can be angry and not realize that you are. But let's ask ourselves the question, what is anger in a way? You and I know that it's a feeling. Anger is a feeling. It is that a feeling of sudden, strong antagonism and displeasure directed towards something that we have decided either is threatening us or will threaten us or injure us or harm us. It is a sudden, strong feeling directed toward something that we feel is threatening us or has harmed or injured us. And all of us have been angry, will get angry. Anger is an emotion, an experience that we start out with in infancy, and we will experience anger probably until the Lord Jesus Christ calls us home. And the question is, how do we deal with it? It isn't a question of whether we're going to finally, once and for all, make a decision to get rid of all anger and never be angry again. That's not going to happen. But how do you deal with anger? Those feelings of anger when they crop up in you. What is your response to those? Now, there can be very, very destructive, or anger can be a motivation for a creative method of releasing energy within us for good. But that depends upon how you and I respond to it. So as we think about anger, I want you to notice what he says in this passage in verse 26. Paul says, be angry and yet do not sin. Now, the only way in the world to understand what he means by that is to discuss the whole nature of anger. That is, what is anger like? How in the world can I be angry towards someone and yet at the same time not sin? Is not anger sin within itself? Well, let's look at anger for just a moment and talk about, first of all, what types of anger are there? There are three types of anger. Number one is rage. Rage is uncontrolled anger, vicious kinds of anger, retaliatory anger, an anger that takes out its vengeance. It is self-centered. Rage is explosive anger. Rage is the kind that's going to be expressed vehemently towards someone, either verbally or it can be expressed physically. Rage is a dangerous form of anger. It's open war on my circumstances or on the person toward whom I feel that anger. That's one type of anger. A second type of anger is resentment. Now, whereas rage is an outward explosion of my feelings, resentment is a suppressed or repressed, a sort of a guerrilla kind of warfare. It's going on the inside and I'm holding it down there. It's sort of boiling and seething all the time. It likewise is just as vengeful, just as self-centered, and even more destructive than even rage. You see, resentment says that I'm angry, but resentment says I'm not going to let you see that I'm angry. And resentment has been called frozen rage. I just keep holding it in. I just keep either denying it or suppressing it. I don't want it to explode, but it's there. And I keep hanging on to it because I feel like I have a right to be angry toward those who've wronged me or my circumstances or my situation. And you see, both of these types of anger are extremely destructive. Hostility, bitterness, all kinds of things can erupt from rage and resentment. And it's interesting what the Bible says about anger because you may not realize it, but I want you to turn to Proverbs 22. The Bible says that you and I should be careful about even associating with people who are angry. Look, if you will, in verse 24 of Proverbs 22. You say, oh, I have a friend and he's full of rage and resentment. Well, listen to what God says. Do not associate with a man or a woman given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, lest you learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. Now, God has some very strong things to say about this matter of anger. Rage and resentment are dangerous forms of anger. One is turned outward in explosiveness, and the other is stuffed inwardly, keeping it down as much as possible. But then there's a third type of anger. And that anger, when he says, be angry and sin not, encompasses two things. One of them is righteous indignation. That is, indignation is a form of anger. But here's what indignation is. Indignation is the exercise or the energizing of my emotions and my physical being against some form of evil. That is, indignation is turning my energy toward that which is evil in order to protect or to express caring for someone who is being wronged. Now, we have to be careful that we don't just take up everybody's offense that we see who is being mistreated or sometimes going through difficulties and hardship and want to get them out from under it all the time. But there is enough evil in the world, enough evil going on around us, that God's people need to be righteously indignant over the wickedness and the evil going on around us. And this does not allow for apathy, for complacency among the people of God. We should be indignant over certain things that we see going on. And therefore, something inside of us should motivate us and energize us to get involved in what we see is evil and injustice in our society, or injustice being taken out on someone whom we care for, someone whom we love. Now remember this, that you and I will only get angry when we care about a situation or someone. That is, if I should say, have you ever been angry at Johansson Smith, who lives in Superflat, Montana? You say, Johansson Smith in Superflat, Montana? How many of you have ever been angry at him? Nobody. Why? Because you don't know him, never heard of him, don't know anything about him, not concerned about him. Well, let me ask you this. How many of you have ever been angry at your parents? How many of you have ever been angry at your husband or wife? How many of you have ever been angry at your children? How many of you have been angry at your friends? You see, we get angry toward those for whom we care. So how many of you have ever been angry toward God? We see, anger is going to be expressed in some fashion or the other. That is, we have to learn to deal with anger. That's what we want to talk about primarily. How do we handle this anger? Rage and resentment are hostile forms of anger that are destructive. Indignation is like gunpowder. And that is, you can use it to blast away at what is evil, or you can use it to destroy something that is good. And so we have to be careful that we talk about being angry, that we understand what we're talking about, and that we don't say, well, yes, I know what I said about him, and I know what I said about her, but I was just being righteously indignant. No, let's just get rid of this little trap right quick. If you and I are angry because of something someone has done toward us, that is not righteous indignation. Chalk that one off. That leaves you with two, rage and resentment. Righteous indignation is my caring and my anger over that which has been done to someone else because I care for the way they've been treated. Now, with that in mind, let's talk about this whole matter of what causes us to be angry, and that is, what is the source of it? Well, let's start with the most elementary thing. What is it that gets us angry the quickest? Well, nobody can answer that for you but you. But one of the things, one of the primary reasons you and I get angry is when we don't get our way. It's just that simple. We don't get our way about certain things, so we get angry. Now, that may mean that I don't get my needs met. I didn't get an opportunity to do what I planned on doing. Things didn't turn out the way I expected them to. Whatever it might be, if I didn't get my way, then I get angry. That's one of the reasons we get angry. Sometimes people can get angry because of pain. When the pain becomes so intense, either emotionally or physically, they can result in being angry. They're not even quite sure what they're angry at times. But anger can be the result of pain, of grief, of suffering. Sometimes it is because of the loss of something that is precious to me or dear to me. Sometimes it can be the loss of a loved one. A person can get angry over the loss of someone who is precious to them. It can be anger over the loss of some financial problem or some loss of your job. A person can be angry because of feeling rejected by someone. If you feel that person has rejected you, see, if you don't care about the person, you won't get angry. That is, if people whom you do not even know reject you for some reason, that doesn't bother you. But if it's someone that you love dearly, someone that you care for, and you feel that they have rejected you, sometimes the response is anger. So you get resentful, or you can burst out in rage and in explosiveness, or you just keep pushing it down and pressing it down. There are lots of causes for anger. We feel like that somebody has physically abused us, or maybe someone has gossiped about us, or some sarcastic word has been said about us. And sometimes it's just the fact that we feel threatened. And you see, if a person feels threatened physically, sometimes their response is anger. If they feel threatened economically, they can respond in anger. Or threatened by being overcrowded in a given situation, they can become angry. There are lots of ways and lots of reasons you and I may feel, have feelings of anger. And more than likely, most of us probably could point at one thing that may make us angry quicker than something else. Sometimes it's a circumstance that arises, or it may be someone. But there are lots of causes for anger. But then the next question is, what kind of effect does this anger have on us? Now, when you and I begin to think about the effects of anger on us, it affects different people different ways. But let me ask you this question. I want you to think about this throughout the rest of the message. Is it possible today that you, by your very nature or by your character, that you're an angry person? Has there something back yon in your life happened that made you angry and you said, well, I've dealt with that? But deep down inside, every once in a while this thing keeps popping up, or it may pop up every day. It may pop up every time you get on to pray. Or if certain situations you find yourself in, that thing pops up again. It keeps cropping up in your life. Have you really dealt with it, or are you an angry person? There are a lot of people who are just angry. And if you should ask them, are you angry? Their quick response is, no, I'm not angry. Or they may say, angry at what? And because a person cannot identify the source of their anger does not mean that that person is not angry. So I want you to ask yourself this question through the message. Could I be angry over something in the past, something that has happened to me, something that I failed to achieve or failed to accomplish, something that I missed in life? Am I angry because of something I did back yonder that even though I know God has forgiven me, I can't forgive myself? Am I still angry over a broken marriage or financial loss, or Am I seething on the inside because I just never was able to accomplish in life what I set out to accomplish? Am I angry because I see myself as a failure? Am I angry because I can't match up to the expectation of those around me? Am I angry because I don't feel like I'll ever be a success in life? Am I angry because I know that I'll never be able to reach my goals, no matter how hard I try? What is it that motivates anger within a person? It could be a thousand different things, but whatever it is, anger always takes its toll. And so you and I can never say, well, yes, I'm angry, but you know, anger really doesn't bother me because I blow off the day and forget it tomorrow. Or you hear people say, well, I just have a short fuse and that's the way I am. Well, my friend, I want to tell you, God didn't make you that way. If you have a short fuse, it's because you have chosen to have one. God doesn't create people with short fuses. We choose to have short fuses, and we choose to rationalize it, and we choose to explain it away. And the problem with a person who says they have a short fuse, what they are a seething, listen, they're seething with anger. And what they're saying is, I can be lit at any moment. I can be expected to explode at any moment. And my friend, don't ever brag about having a short fuse, because what you're confessing is that you are an angry person. Now, the Bible says to be angry and sin not. How in the world am I going to be angry and not sin? We said there are three types. Rage, explosive. Resentment, stuff it down. Indignation, reaching out in behalf of someone else. If you and I do not learn how to deal with anger, it'll take an awful toll in our life. For example, it'll take its toll upon us physically. What happens when you get angry, when these feelings of anger come? Well, your heartbeat increases, your pulse rate increases, your breathing is deepened or picks up speed, your tone of voice changes, your adrenaline begins to flow, your whole body begins to feel the effects of anger. So you see, it's going to take its physical toll. Now, that's just up front, instantly, what happens when we have angry feelings. But what about over the long haul? If you just keep on letting that anger linger in there and just let it lay there. Well, the respiratory system, for one thing, the circulatory system, the nervous system, every system of the human body feels the effect. Strokes, heart attacks, ulcers. There are many, many things we could name that are the result and can be the result. I'm not saying that these things are always only the result of, but they can be the result of anger that's just been laying in there, working away, churning away, week after week, month after month, year after year. Anger that began in childhood, going through those teenage years, into your 20s, into your 30s, or into your 40s, into your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. Some people live and die full of anger. They don't even realize it. They just think that's the way life is. I mean, you know, everybody, they say, well, everybody's uptight about something. Not necessarily. And so we tolerate anger, and we explain it away, but what we don't realize is that all the time we're trying to explain it away, it's on the inside, churning and chipping away and destroying. You see, to willfully hold on to anger is to sabotage your own life. It is to destroy your own life. So it affects us physically. It affects us emotionally. Have you ever seen people who just, they get angry, they walk up to the refrigerator and open both doors and just stare in it? You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to feed something within them that cannot be fed with food. So what happens? They start eating and they eat and they eat and they eat and they eat and they overeat. What are they trying to do? They're trying to deal with this problem of anger. Eating is not the way to deal with it. Alcoholism, drugs, affairs, all kinds of things are the response to anger. I'll show her. I'll show him. And so what do? We wreak our vengeance on those toward whom we feel anger, and all the time we are getting even. Listen, all the time an angry person is getting even, you know who's getting the worst end of the deal? The person who is expressing anger. Now think about this. Think about being angry at someone for something they did to you or something they said about you. They don't even know that they hurt you. And so they don't even know that you're angry. And here you are all capsuled up and you are angry and you're growing bitter and you're becoming more and more resentful and it's seething and boiling within you and you're suffering. And every time you see them, you want to cross the street. You don't want to speak to them. You don't want to get anywhere around them because you can't stand the sight of them. And here they are just enjoying life and thinking, you know, praise the Lord. And here you are over here dying in your corner. Who's killing you? Say, they made me angry. No, they didn't. You chose to be angry. Anger is a choice we make. That's why he says, be angry and sin not. Now, we're going to talk about that in a moment. Be angry and sin not. You see, the truth is you don't have to sin and be angry. But if you're angry and the rage and the resentment begins to be a part of your life, my friends, you destroy yourself. You separate yourself from friends. And so oftentimes people who are the choicest of friends are separated. Why? Somebody gets their feelings hurt, or somebody's angry over this or that, or they said something off the cuff that they did not mean, and what happens? When that happens at the drop of a hat with someone, that person is in their very nature an angry person. And all you did is lit their fuse today. Somebody else lit it yesterday. Somebody else going to light it tomorrow. And it's going to keep on getting lit because then they're just going to burn because they're angry by nature. Well, my friends, you can't walk in the Spirit and be full of rage and resentment. You can't be happy with God and be full of anger. You can't have contentment and peace in your heart and be loaded down with anger and resentment toward other people. It drives people from each other. It separates the best of friends. And all of us have seen people who have been dear friends get angry or upset over something that was insignificant and absolutely destroy their friendships. And so the world looks at us and says, those Christians, they can't even get along. So what is it that causes anger in your own particular life? And how is it expressed? Well, one of the ways it expresses itself is in depression. Listen, not all. I won't say all, because some of it can be chemical. But a great deal of depression is the result of resentment. That is, boiling, seething anger over something that has happened in the past. And so they nurture it, and they guard it, and they keep it, and they feed it. And after a while, they sort of enjoy feeling what they feel towards someone else. And all the time, it is destroying, absolutely destroying their whole emotional being. There are all kinds of emotions that you and I could name as a result of anger. And then, of course, excesses. When a person gets angry, they become excessive in things. For example, here, let's say it can be a man or a woman. Fellow, a lady get angry, and so what do they say? I'll tell you what I'm doing. Tomorrow morning, I'm going shopping. That's what I'm going to do. And so they get their long list of credit cards, and they go to the department stores, and they exercise their anger on this department store and that department store and on this object and that object. And time the day is over, they've spent a whopping pile of money. And you know what? For the moment, they had temporary relief till the end of the month. And then somebody else gets angry at their house. But that's what some people do. They go shopping to get rid of their anger. Or if they've been jilted by someone, or they've had some relational problem and breakup, they decide, well, they'll just show them. And so they go out and they have some affair. And so then what do? Morally, they get into it. And morally, they have a failure, exercising their resentment towards someone else. It is amazing the kind of destructive nature that goes on in the human life as a result of anger. And sometimes it is so insignificant the way it began. And sometimes it is more significant. Sarcasm, a critical spirit. All of that is the result of being angry. I'm not saying that every sarcastic word that has ever been said is because somebody's by nature angry, but I'm saying it is an angry remark. A critical remark, a cutting critical remark is a result of anger. And you see, it doesn't take you very long after a while to be able to spot that. A person who's angry doesn't know. And you see, you shouldn't be critical of a person who is necessarily angry because they don't know it. What they need is help, not more anger and criticism on our part. Well, why don't they shape up? Because they don't even know they need to shape up. Because they don't even know how to shape up. And so what happens? Anger takes its toll in their life. And sometimes they react by hostility. Now, my friend, you and I are living in a hostile society. Children hostile toward their parents. Parents abusing their children. And we're living in a society when the woman in America is no longer safe. What a tragedy in a nation like this. That men would abuse and destroy and mutilate and do all kinds of ugly, non-mentionable things to a woman whom God gave to men to love, cherish, care for, protect, provide, and all the rest. My friend, don't ever marry someone who is angry. Because I'll tell you what's going to happen. They're going to bring their anger into your life. And they're going to dump that anger right into your life. And no matter what you do, how much you do, how long you do it, how well you do it, you can do it with all of your heart. It'll never be enough and it'll never be right. And they're going to explode that anger on you, or there will be a seething resentment, a wall built up between you and the other person. And no matter what you do, you can't break the wall down. Because it is anger. And you see, the destructive thing about it is it's so subtle sometimes. And the person doesn't realize it. But it's anger. And a lot of sexual experiences that go on today, there's nothing to do with love whatsoever. It's not even a decent emotion. You know what it is? It is an attempt to exercise conquest and the exercising of anger in someone else's life. We have a distorted, perverted nation because we are angry. We've never had more and enjoyed it less. We've got everything in the world going for us, and yet somehow we are more angry toward each other than ever before. You would think that any good businessman would know that to treat his employees with loving and caring concern would be the wisest thing to do. But to be the big, tough guy who's angry all the time and always looking down his nose and pointing his finger and being critical, my friend, when a person does their best over and over and over again and all they get is criticism, that builds anger. You see, we're an angry nation because we've chosen to be. We haven't realized that you can't somehow keep on violating the principles and the rules and the laws of God and come out loving each other. You don't. And the one thing we wouldn't want to do, we want to be angry toward our enemies overseas somewhere. No. What happens is you get angry with the people you love. You get angry with the people who are the most precious to you. You get angry with the people all around you. Remember what we said a few moments ago? You get angry with the folks that mean something to you, that you care about. I wonder how many young men who are seated here or who are watching, how many young men who are listening, and you're angry at your mom. It's been there for years. Sometimes it heats up and sometimes it cools down, but it's still there. She dominated your life. She dominated your daddy. She controlled your life. She calls all the plays. And so here you are, and deep down inside, you think, I can't be angry at my mom, because after all, you're supposed to love your mom. Sure you are. But you're angry. And how many young ladies, you love your dad, but you're angry with him? And deep down inside, it's seething and boiling. And it's there. And somehow you're not happy around men. You don't really trust them as much as you'd like. And while you want somebody to caress you and love you and hold you and cherish you, deep down inside you don't trust them. Could it be because you're angry? My friend, don't walk into a marriage relationship and carry that kind of anger, that kind of boiling, seething, stuffed resentment, anger, and dump it on somebody else innocently who chooses to love you, change their name, or take care of you the rest of your life. You need to deal with it. Anger is a destructive force. Then the question comes, how do we deal with it? So I want to give you some steps. They're right here in the Scriptures. Most of them are in these two passages of Scripture here. Let's read these two verses again. He says in verse 26, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Then he says, verse 32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Now, how do we deal with this problem of anger? We're talking about anger toward each other, not talking about righteous indignation now. First of all, step number one, you have to acknowledge it. Yes, I am angry. Confess it. You need to confess it to yourself and to God. God, yes, I am angry. You see, you can't fool God. In other words, don't say, Lord, I'm not angry. God knows when we're angry, so you might as well say, Lord, I'm angry. Now, let me say this. There's nothing wrong with being angry if you deal with it properly. He says, be angry, but sin not. There's righteous indignation, which is not sin. But then you can have feelings, listen, you can have feelings of anger without sinning if you deal with them. But here's the way to deal with them. First of all, I'm to acknowledge it. I am feeling angry at this moment. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge it to yourself and to God. Secondly, identify the source of that anger. What is it that I am angry about? Is it my circumstances, my situation? Am I angry towards someone? That is, it won't usually take you very long to identify that. Identify the root cause or the source of the object of that anger. Now, listen carefully. If you don't identify the source of the anger and you don't deal with it, as I want to relate to you here, you are going to hurt some very innocent people. Because what's going to happen is you go to work, you come home, and you're going to blast away your children. They had nothing to do with what happened to you on your job. 1,000 different things can happen, and our anger will be oftentimes be expressed towards someone who had nothing to do. They're not the object. They're not the cause of the anger. So identify, what is it that I'm angry about? That is, I am angry. What is it that I'm angry about, and what is the object of my anger? Am I angry with God because of this, what's happened? Am I angry at Him? Is it just my circumstance? And then step number three. Now, this is a simple one. Do not sin. You say, but no, wait a minute. If I have angry feelings, isn't that sin? No. Be angry and sin not. It isn't the fact, you see, when something happens, you can have the feeling of anger. That doesn't mean that you're sinning. It's what you do with it. And so, first of all, you acknowledge, I am feeling angry. Secondly, what is the cause? What's the root cause of this anger? Thirdly, I choose to respond to my angry feelings in the proper fashion because, as a believer, I have the Holy Spirit living within me, and the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and long-suffering and goodness and gentleness. So I do have the power to respond properly. So I choose not to sin. Then number four, deal with it quickly. Listen to what he says in this passage now. He says, be angry and yet do not sin. What does he say? Do not let the sun go down on your anger. That is, he says, don't go to bed angry. Now, my friend, that isn't a suggestion. That's a command of Scripture. Don't go to bed angry. Many people who divorce today would still be together if they practiced that principle. That no matter what's going on between them, they settle the issue before they go to bed. You say, well, we'll sleep on it, it'll go away. Oh, no. You know what happens? It just boils and seethes all night long. If it were true that it would always go away with a good night's sleep, nobody would be angry. Every morning, everybody would be happy. But you and I know that everybody is not happy every morning. So he says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. That is, deal with it quickly. That's the way believers are to deal with anger. Those feelings of anger, you deal with them now. Now, there's a reason for that, and he tells us in this passage. Look, verse 27. And do not give the devil an opportunity. Here's what he's saying. If you and I don't deal with our angry feelings immediately, the devil takes advantage of that. Here's how he takes advantage of it. First of all, we can wreck and ruin our testimony if we don't handle it. My friend, you can live 10 years in your office where you work, and you explode in rage over something that somebody says to you or does to you, and what happens to your testimony? It goes up in the same smoke with your temper. Now, here's the way the devil operates. The devil won't say to you now, just go ahead and explode. Just go ahead and let it all out. The devil just bides his time. And while over here on this side, you are having to deal with this anger, or you choose not to deal with it, and you say, I'll pray about that tonight when I get ready to go to bed. My friend, there's a long time sometime between the moment we feel anger and the time we go to sleep. So here's what Satan does. He just moves over into this part of your life or to this period of time during the day, and he sets a good trap. And this is the way he sets the trap. He knows that because you're angry for what that person said about you or to you, the way they treated you, that because you're angry, your temper's a little high, and you are less wise in your decision-making process, and you're very self-centered because you've been hurt, and your self-esteem's been damaged, and so everything, you're looking inwardly, and you're sort of churning a little bit, and you're not thinking very clearly, and you're certainly not very perceptive, and you don't really look at, you're not very perceptive of things that are going on around you. And so what happens? Bang, you're down. Satan lays a trap. You fall right into it. Why? Because you're not walking in the Spirit. And because you're not interested in being obedient to God, you are seething and you are burning on the inside, and you're going to take care of it later. The time to deal with feelings of anger is always, immediately. Not later, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. Now, the reason we delay it is because sometimes we like to feed on it. Somebody has wronged us, and you know that they are wrong. And so sometimes the person says, well, I'm going to forgive them, but not now. And so a person says, well, I'm not going to forgive. Now, think about this. This is how the devil snares us. Somebody says, well, yes, they've wronged me, but I'm not going to forgive them yet, as if your lack of forgiveness was tearing them up. When more than likely it's not. What's tearing anybody up is your lack of forgiveness is tearing you up. And so failure to forgive is a disaster. which leads me to that point, and that is following the whole idea here of dealing with it quickly, because what Satan will do is the next thing I must do. Next thing I must do is to be forgiving. Now, just mark this one down for keeps. No matter what your circumstances, no matter what they've said, what they've done, or what has happened, the only way to deal with anger is to forgive. Now listen, not forgive when they come confess to you, I'm sorry. They may never do it. Secondly, they may not even know that they've wronged you. So you can't wait till that person comes and says, well, I want to apologize. Here's what I did to you. I cheated you out of this. So I accused you of so-and-so. I caused you to lose your job. Therefore, I want you to forgive me. They may never say anything. You don't wait to be forgiving towards someone when they've asked you. If you wait, you know what's going to happen? You'll never forgive some people because they are not going to ask you to forgive them. Their pride and their arrogance, you see, they couldn't stoop to ask you to forgive them. Some people can't even say, I'm sorry, let alone come to you and say, would you please forgive me for wronging you? You have to be forgiving. As someone has said, forgiveness is the greatest expression of love. Is there anyone whom you have not forgiven for something they have done to you? Something that they've said to you? And now remember this. When I forgive you, I don't hold it against you anymore. Forgiveness means I not only release you for what you've done, no matter what it is, I don't hold it against you. And if I don't hold it against you, my relationship with you is right. And if I hold it against you, I'm going to act emotionally and physically in some form to reject you. Now, rejection is probably one of the most painful experiences in life, and one of the primary reasons a lot of people become angry is because they feel rejected. They may not have been rejected, but they feel rejected. You see, you can feel rejected when the other person hasn't rejected you. They may reject what you do, but if you feel rejected and you become angry, you must deal with it immediately. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. That is, work on it, deal with it right now by acknowledging, yes, I'm angry. Here's the reason I'm angry. This is the person I'm angry toward. I choose not to sin because I'm a child of God and the Holy Spirit's living within me. And I realize that I've got to deal with this, and the way I'm going to deal with this is I'm going to forgive that person. And my friend, listen to me carefully. Every single believer has within him and in her the power to forgive. Just like that. That is the gift of God. The God who forgave you and me is the same God who has given to us the power to forgive. Listen to this. He says, put away all clamor and wrath. That is, I'm not only willing to deal with it, I'm willing to deal with it quickly. That means I choose not to respond. I choose death to this feeling of anger, and I choose to forgive. I put it away. I choose to forgive that person. Now listen carefully. If there is anybody in this world toward whom you have an unforgiving spirit, you are not walking in the Spirit. You are not full of the Spirit. You are hindering God's blessing in your life. You will never be able to sense the contentment and the joy and the happiness and the peace that God wants you to have, because an unforgiving spirit cancels all of that. Now let me ask you a question. Do you mean to tell me that what they said about you is worth your destroying your own body and emotion over? You mean what they did towards you is worth you destroying yourself and becoming depressed and backing off into your little cocoon and shutting the world out and having yourself a big pity party and telling God how awful everybody treats you and that you've just been mistreated by everything and everybody and you want a break? No, you're just going to destroy yourself. My friend, you can't be right with God. Listen to me. You cannot, you will not ever be right with God as long as you hold an unforgiving spirit toward anybody for any reason, no matter what, because listen to this verse. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, through Jesus Christ, has forgiven you. I have no right to be angry toward my brother or sister, no matter what they've done. You say, well, I'm not angry, but I am hurt. Hurt is anger. Hurt is a form of anger. I am hurt. What I'm saying is, I'm angry. And I'm trying to sophisticate it by changing the name of it. That's what I'm trying to do. But the truth is, I'm hurt. And there's no place for it. And then following forgiveness. If I'm going to deal with anger, following my forgiveness, and all of this can come quickly, instantly, I need to seek the lesson that God wants me to learn in this. Why did I get angry over what he said? Why did I get angry when I found myself in this circumstance? Why did I get angry because she treated me that way? Seek to learn the lesson that God wants to teach you in that. And then the last step I think is very important. That is, purpose in your heart to prevent. Purpose in your heart to prevent that incident from happening again. I didn't say it wouldn't. I said purpose in your heart. Now, how do you do that? Here's how you do it. In this given instance in which you find yourself having angry feelings, clean it up. That is, don't just say, well, I'm going to deal with most of this. Clean it up. That is, identify what it is. Identify that person toward whom you're angry. Forgive that person, whether it's God. Get yourself right with him if you're angry toward him, or the other person. Make things right. Don't let anything just be straggling along. Clean it up good. Settle it. Just close the door on it. Because if you don't, what you didn't clean up, Satan has laying right out there just waiting for the next time you get in the same situation to trip you up again. Clean it all up. That's the best way to prevent it from happening again. Now, ask you one more time. Do you suppose that one of the reasons you can't ever feel exactly right between you and God is that you're angry? Could it be that you're angry towards your mom or your dad? Could it be that that anger has been there for years and years? Or could it be that the reason you're so miserable is you can name the person they did you wrong? Your case is fantastic. I mean, it is impressive. But your impressive case is destroying you physically and emotionally and spiritually. It's not worth it. For a number of years in my life, I was an angry man and did not realize it. Probably was angry from childhood and didn't realize it. Not just a few years, but a lot of years of my life. And I can look back and tell you another incident that I finally began to put together to realize here's one of the things that anger does in a person's life. But simply to say this at this time, it was not till I got into my 40s that I realized that I was angry toward God. I loved him as best I knew how, served him with all of my heart, give him all of my time, anything and everything I have to give. But one day back in the prayer room off my study, I was talking to God about something that I was concerned about, and God showed me that I was angry toward him. Now, somebody helped me to see that I was angry. A friend said to me, Charles, you are angry. I said, I'm not angry. He said, yes, you are. I said, what am I angry about? Well, he was smart enough to know that it wasn't any point in him trying to tell me. But one day on my knees back in the prayer room, I realized what he'd been saying was true. That I was angry because God had taken my father when I was only 7 months of age, and I missed out on that whole realm, a very essential, important realm of a young boy's life, never having a father. I never realized what it was. But when I realized what it was, I thought, I'm going to find somebody who can walk me through this and walk me out of this valley until I am free. And I want to tell you, I'm free. Amen. And that's been years ago, but I want to tell you something. I look back and realize how that affected my relationship and my understanding of God's love for me. And I realize now that I could never quite feel God loving me. I knew it up here, and I preached it with all of my heart, meant it every word of it. And it was the truth and is the truth. But emotionally, I could never get to it until God set me free. Man, I've been there. But I want to tell you, there is nothing under God's heaven like getting free. And besides, you see, it's one thing to be angry about something back there you're not even aware of. But to be angry towards someone else and to hold that, to seethe and to boil like acid in your stomach, in your head, in your shoulders, in your back, is not worth it. And I want to invite you to freedom. Now, here's the invitation. Listen carefully. To you who are listening, here's the invitation. If you're angry towards someone or some circumstance in your life, if you'll follow these simple steps that I've offered you as a suggestion, you can deal with that anger and put it away from you right now and be set free. But if you're an angry person and you sense that anger deep down inside of you, more than likely those steps are not going to get rid of it. You may need to go sit down with someone whom you trust who is godly, not just any old counselor, a godly counselor, and say to that person, I have a feeling that I may be angry. Or you may be angry right now because I brought up the subject. And I understand that. But if you'll say to that person, would you help me be free of my anger? If that is a wise, godly counselor, they'll help you free. And I encourage you, find a godly man, sir, a godly woman, ma'am, and let somebody walk you out of your anger, lest it destroy you physically and emotionally and spiritually. The invitation is real simple. If you've never been saved, you're not going to make it. You're going to stand in the presence of God one of these days, and forever and ever, you're going to be separated from Him. And you talking about anger. And I want to invite you to Jesus. That's always the first step. You see, when you are willing to accept God's forgiveness, then you get equipped to deal with forgiving someone else. Lord Jesus, how patient, how loving, how kind, how gentle, how forgiving, and how forgetting you are. I pray the Holy Spirit will give freedom in this invitation, and that each person here will do whatever you want them to do, whatever that is, to deal with their anger, is my prayer. For our goal is freedom from the bondage of anger. In Jesus' name, amen.